Well, praise the Lord. This is Pastor Terry Sisney. This is the Overcomers Broadcast. I want to welcome you to come on in today. I'm going to share with you, as always, some short, powerful keys. Of course, one in particular today concerning the overcomer's life. Jesus said in John 10 and 10, I use this scripture quite a bit. Jesus said, I'm come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. That's God's will for your life. That's God's will for my life, is abundant life, more than an overcomer. In fact, the Bible says that he has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. Let me just say this. God wants you to prosper in every area of your life. The scripture says that I would above all things, I wish, he said, that thou mayest prosper and be in health as thy soul prospers. So God desires you to prosper, friend, just like he desires for me to prosper. But it's not automatic. Joshua 1 and 8 said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein both day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. See, you meditate for the purpose of doing, not just for the purpose of getting something in your brain or even in your heart. It's for the purpose of doing it. Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Well, the key that I want to share with you today is the key of persistence. The key of persistence. I tell you, there's probably not anything that's more powerful in your life and in mine than persistence. On that subject, let me just mention the word habit. Most people, when they think about habit, they have a very negative thought process concerning habit, and they think of it as something bad, like a drug addiction or like a nicotine addiction, something of that nature. But the word habit really just means that anything you do more than once becomes easier. So they say that anything that you do for 30 days becomes a habit. I believe it's 30 days, maybe 31 days. But if you're consistent about doing something, it becomes a habit. Habit is not bad. Habit is good. It's a good thing. It becomes a discipline that leads you into good things. If you become habitual about the way you eat, eating right, if you become habitual about exercising, if you become habitual about reading the word, if you become habitual about worshiping God, if you make that a habit, if it's a daily habit, it's something that becomes a way of life for you. Habits shape your life. So habits are not bad. So within the framework of the subject of habits is the word persistence. You must be persistent. A habit does not happen accidentally. You make that decision. Of course, there are things in life that do happen. Like people get addicted to smoking cigarettes and nicotine, and they get addicted to drugs, and they didn't set out intentionally to do that. But when you want to move forward in life in a positive way, I promise you, you have to put pressure on the pressure. You're going to have to go against the stream. You're going to have to push yourself. You're going to have to discipline yourself. I know a lot of people don't like that word discipline. But as followers of Jesus Christ, we are called disciples. Disciples, just like the 12 that Jesus chose, you and I are disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, which means we are disciplined ones. We are ones who have disciplined our lives according to the Word of God. Not just discipline for the sake of discipline, but for the sake of maturity, for the sake of progress, for the sake of growing, for the sake of shaping our lives in a way that honors and pleases God. So I want to talk to you about persistence. I know I've taken a little time to lay this foundation, but sometimes you You have to lay a good foundation if you want the house to stay and to stand the storm. And we do. We want this house to stand the storm. So we're talking about the key of persistence. Remember, Jesus was praying one day, and we find this in Luke chapter 11, and certain of his disciples, they came to him, and they said, teach us to pray, like John taught his disciples. In other words, they had seen the discipline in Jesus' life concerning prayer, and they wanted him to teach them about prayer. Jesus begins then to tell them about the Lord's Prayer. Pray this way. Let this be the pattern for your prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And then he said, "And the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." And so he says this is the way that you pattern your prayer. Then in the same portion of scripture, Luke chapter 11, Jesus comes down and says, forgive our sins, forgive everyone that is indebted to us. In other words, live the lifestyle of forgiveness. If you're going to be effective in prayer, you have to live the lifestyle of forgiveness. Unforgiveness will strip your prayer of its effectiveness. You can never be effective in prayer if you allow unforgiveness to take root in your heart. So critical that you get this in your spirit. Jesus said, if you from your heart do not forgive those who trespass against you, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses against him. So it's very important that you understand, if you want an effective prayer life, you want to be powerful in prayer, then you also have to have a forgiving heart. I am not going to hold a grudge. You know, the Bible tells us that it's impossible to live in this world and not be faced with offense. He said it's impossible that offenses won't come. They will come. But he didn't say that it's impossible for you to live without taking offense. You have to decide, I choose not to take offense. The book of Psalms, he said, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Doesn't mean that I have not had opportunity to be offended. Doesn't mean that offense does not come my way. But it means I can't afford to entertain it. I can't afford to let that offense get into my heart and take root, because it will create bitterness in my life. I can't afford that. And so I've got to keep my heart free of offense. So moving forward now, I'm still talking about persistence and the key of persistence. And so Jesus is still teaching, and he's talking about prayer, because if you're going to grow and move forward in the Christian life, especially, I primarily speak to believers. Anyone can listen to what I'm saying and be benefited by it, but primarily I'm speaking to believers. He said, if you're going to move forward in the Christian life, you have to understand persistence. Now, I'm paraphrasing, but this is really what Jesus is saying. He goes in to Luke 11 and verse 5, and he begins to talk about a man who has a friend who comes to visit him, and he doesn't have any bread in the house. He doesn't have any food for him. So he goes down the road to another one of his friends. Now, let me read it to you. Luke chapter 11, verse 5. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go to him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves for a friend of mine. Not necessarily the friend of the person that you came to, but a friend of mine. He's came to my house, and I have nothing to set before him. And from within, your friend answers and says, trouble me not. And he makes a statement. He says, the door is now shut. It's locked. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. In other words, we're all bedded down for the night. And it's a hassle for me to get to the door. I've got to step over the top of the kids. And he said, just come back in the morning and we'll get you some bread. But here's what it says. I say unto thee, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend. In other words, friendship is not enough to get him out of the bed. Just because you're my friend doesn't mean I'm going to get up at midnight, disturb my kids, and go into the kitchen and ramble and rifle through the cabinets and to find you what you need and give it to you. So friendship is not enough. So he said, I say unto you, though he will not rise and give to him because he's his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. Now that word importunity is a really powerful word. That word importunity encompasses the attitude of persistence. In other words, this man on the inside is convinced because of his friend outside. He is so bold to be there at midnight after the family is all in bed. He's knocking on the door. He's aggressively knocking. He's not just knocked one time and then ran down the road. He's standing there knocking and he won't leave. And it says because of his importunity, that word importunity means his boldness, his shamefacedness, his impudence. In other words, because he knows it's midnight, he knows it's late, he knows we're in bed, but he won't go away. He just keeps on knocking. That's persistence. This is what Jesus is trying to teach us about our Christian life. If we're going to make progress in our Christian life, there must be persistence. Persistence wins the day, friend. Persistence wins the day. He says, because even though he won't rise and give to him because he's his friend, yet because of his persistence, his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. Persistence wins the day because he stays there, because he did not give up, because he keeps on knocking, because he is persistent, because he is determined. Then he says that friend will get the loaves that he needs and as many as he needs. And he'll go on his way with everything that he was desiring. Now, what you need to understand is persistence is so powerful. So powerful that even in the natural, people understand it. Probably, to tell the truth, people in the natural probably understand it better than believers most of the time. Let's take, for instance, a stone cutter. A stone cutter, cutting stones is their occupation. They may tackle huge stones, thousands of pounds, and they hit it with a hammer. And when they hit that huge stone with a hammer, there's no evidence of any change whatsoever in that stone. And yet the stone cutter, through experience, knows that persistence will bring a split in that stone. Now, that stone cutter does not know which blow from the hammer is going to divide that stone. But he does understand the principle of persistence. And he understands if he stays persistent, if he stays at it, if he keeps on striking it, specifically in that same area, then there will be a fracturing. There will be a weakness that will begin to take place internally inside of that stone, and it will eventually work its way out to the outside, and it will split and it will divide. That stone cutter has the principle of persistence in his heart. When he hits that stone the first time, there's no evidence of any change. Third time, no evidence of a change. It may be 50 times or 100 times before there is actually a change outside where it is a visible evidence that something has happened. But the reality is it was happening from the first blow. Something was beginning to take place internally from the first blow. And you need to understand that. This is the revelation that God wants to bring to you and I. Is the Bible says that Isaiah 10 and 27, it said, the anointing destroys the yoke. It says, the anointing destroys the yoke. In that day shall his burden depart from off thy shoulder and the yoke from off thy neck, because the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. It is steady pressure, persistent pressure, persistent prayer, persistent study of God's word and quoting of God's word, persistent worship. It's staying persistent and consistent in the doing of it, in the discipline of it, in the habit of it, in the lifestyle of it. Prayer, not prayed one time. Somebody says if you pray more than one time about something than any other time after the first time is in unbelief. Well, that's not true. Jesus prayed three times about the same issue with his father. He said, if it's possible that this cup can pass for me, let it pass for me, but nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Hello, King James. God bless you. So Jesus understood the principle of persistence. And then he told us, he said, ask. He said, ask when you pray, ask, seek, and knock. Those are three levels of persistence, three levels, starting with asking. Then you increase to seeking. Seeking is a deeper, higher, stronger level than asking. And then it's knocking. You move from asking, seeking, and knocking. And that's a persistence. Jesus was teaching persistence in this portion of scripture, that you keep on knocking. He said, even though the man inside the house is not going to open the door and give him what he wants because he's his friend, but because of his boldness, because of his courage, because of his persistence, he will get up and give him as many as he needs. Friend, that's what you need to understand in a Christian life. You've got to be persistent about these things. When you attack something in the spirit, when you attack a sickness and you go after it because you know that it's not God's will, you know that healing is God's will because the Bible says by his stripes you were healed. And because you know that's a biblical truth, you attack sickness. You attack sickness like you attack the devil. You don't put up with it. You say, in Jesus' name, I have been delivered from the power of sin, sickness, and disease. He bore my griefs. He carried my sorrows. He took my infirmities. By his stripes I was healed. He was wounded for my transgressions, bruised for my iniquities. And you take authority over the works of the devil, and you bind the works of the devil, and you confess the promises of God. You say what David said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all thine iniquities, who heals all thy diseases, who redeems thy life from destruction, who crowns thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. You say what Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 30:17, I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord. You say what he said in Matthew 8:16-17, when the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. He cast out the spirits with his word. He healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. You say what Peter said, 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. What are you doing? You're hitting that rock like the stone cutter. You're putting pressure on that problem, putting pressure on that yoke, putting pressure on that sickness, putting pressure on that financial problem. See, when I go after a financial problem, I get the word of God. My God shall supply all my need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I take God's word. He has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And I go after that thing, and I become persistent about it, and I persistently take God's word and apply it. I persistently take communion and worship, persistently confess the word of God. You persistently attack that thing, because persistence wins the day. So listen what Jesus said. He said, I'm telling you, even though the friendship was not enough, but because of his boldness and his courage to come at midnight and stand out there and knock on the door, even though he knew it was inconveniencing his friend inside, he stayed out there in intercession, knocking on the door, and wouldn't take no for an answer, and just kept on pressing his request. Sometimes, friend, just like the woman, the Syrophoenician woman, you remember, she came to Jesus. She said, my daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. And then Jesus wouldn't answer her. It said he answered her not a word. It said the disciples said, send her away. She crieth after us. Well, that would have been enough in most people's case. They would have turned around and went home. They'd have said, the disciples don't want me here. Jesus is not talking to me. Why should I stay here? Why should I subject myself to this kind of treatment? And then Jesus makes a statement. He said, it's not right to take the children's bread and to give it to dogs. Now, you know and understand, please, dear friends, he was not calling this woman a dog. But the Gentiles at the time, and she was a Gentile, a Syrophoenician, she was a Gentile. The Gentiles, the door of grace had not been opened to the Gentiles yet. It was open to the Jews, but it had not yet been opened to the Gentiles. That happened in Acts when Cornelius was praying, and an angel came to Cornelius, who was a Gentile, and told him to send for Peter, who was a Jew, who would tell him words of salvation, how they could be saved. And he did that, and then the door to the Gentiles opened up so that we could come into the household of faith and so that the two could become one. And so the Bible says he has broken down the middle wall and a partition, and he has made of both one new man in Christ Jesus. So Jew and Gentile are the same now in Christ Jesus. We're the same. We're born of the same spirit. We're washed in the same blood. We're baptized with the same baptism. And so there, the door is open. So she was a Gentile, okay? And he said, it's not right to take what belongs to the children and give it to dogs or outsiders or those that have not got a covenant. That's anyone that didn't have a covenant with God was considered a dog. And so she said, truth, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the children's table. Oh, Jesus was so impressed by her attitude that she humbled herself and said, okay, I understand that I'm not in the covenant. I realize that. But even the little dogs that you were making mention of, they get the crumbs that fall from the children's table when the children are negligent or when the children are careless and crumbs fall down off the table. Even the little dogs down under the table get a little crumb now and then. She said, just let me get a little crumb. That's enough for me. If I can get a crumb, I won't complain. Hello, realms. God bless you. And so Jesus said, oh, woman, great is thy faith. He heard faith in her statement. He heard faith in the fact that she did not just turn around and stomp off and say, well, I'm not going to let you call me a dog. You know, what she said basically in her action was, you can call me a dog if you want to. Just give me the crumbs. Like the little dogs, like the dogs get from the children's table. If that's what you want to say, that's fine. Just give me the crumbs. I'll be okay. I don't mind. Jesus looked at this woman. He said, oh, daughter, he said, be of good cheer. He said, daughter, the devil's gone out of your daughter. The devil's gone out. Go your way. The devil's gone. This was a woman who had no covenant with God, who came into Jesus' presence, and who got a covenant blessing. Oh, hallelujah. Because she was persistent. Oh, friend, I'm telling you, there's power in persistence. Power in persistence. There was another occasion when the Bible teaches the story of a woman and her son was being mistreated, and she came before the king and she was pushing her claim before the king. And the Bible says this king, he was not a good king. He was a wicked king. But we learned something from him. He said, this woman, because she troubles me, I will grant her request because I know she's not going to leave me alone until I do. And so he granted her request. And so God wants us to understand the power of persistence. Persistence. You know, let's just be honest about it. Sometimes we're too lazy. We're too lazy. We try something one time, it don't work. We go, oh, well, you know, I gave it a try and it didn't work. You know, we pray one time and we don't see an answer. We throw our hands up. We say, well, I guess God doesn't care. I guess that's not important to him. Come on, friends. You just got to get some grit about you. You got to get some grit and some gumption. Hallelujah. Make a determination. Here's the first thing you need. I'll try to help you today. The first thing you need is you have to know that you're praying according to God's will. When you know you're praying according to God's will, the Bible says if we know that that what we're asking is according to his will, we know he hears us. And if we know he hears us, we know we have the petitions that we desired of him. So the first thing we have to do is we have to get loaded up with the word of God. God, what does your word say about my family? What does your word say about my health? What does your word say about my finances? What does your word say about this situation where I'm needing direction? And take that word in your heart, lift it up to God and say, Lord, this is what you said in your word. And press that before the Lord and be persistent about it. Don't pray one time and then walk away and say, well, I guess God doesn't care. I guess he's not listening. I guess that's not important to him. The devil is a liar. Sometimes God just wants to see how important it is to you. Are you going to press your claim? Are you going to keep on asking? Are you keep on knocking? Ask, seek, and knock, knock, knock. Keep on knocking. Keep on pressing. Keep on seeking. Keep on asking. And if you will not give up, you'll get an answer. Just like this man in Luke, it said, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. I'm sharing with you today some secrets of the overcomer's life. One of the most powerful keys of the overcomer's life. And I've had it in my life. I've exercised it in my life. And you can exercise it. Anyone can if they will, is the key of persistence. Stay after it. Stay at it. You know, I used to lift weights. I haven't done it quite a while, so I don't have quite the physique that I had when I was younger. At 30 years old, I'm 30 years older now than I was then. But I noticed something. The first time I went to the gym and started lifting weights, I didn't see any evidence of any change whatsoever. I didn't see no muscles bulging. I felt sore, but that was more discouraging than it was encouraging. But you know what I did? I looked at people around me that were in the gym that had developed muscles, and I saw what they were doing, and I realized that if I stay after it, I'll get some results. And so a month later, 2 months later, 3 months later, my arms started showing some results. I started seeing some muscles. I started seeing my chest started showing some results. My legs started showing some results. My strength level went up. My ability to work with weights increased. I got heavier and heavier and heavier weights, and I got stronger and stronger. My muscles got bigger and bigger, but it all happened because of the key of persistence. The key of persistence. I don't know what you're facing today, my friends, but I do know God's word is true. And I do know that if you're asking according to God's will, then it's up to you to press your claim. Caleb said, give me my mountain. He's 80 years old, 85 years old. He said, give me my mountain. He's an old man. And he says, 40 years ago, Moses said I could have this mountain and I want it. And I'm just as strong today as I was when he gave me the promise. So give me my mountain. So you take God's word in your heart, in your mouth, go to God, begin to press that word. Say, Lord, you said in your word, hallelujah, I believe your word is true. And you press that word, you press your claim in faith, and you stand there and knock on that door. And eventually that door will open because God is ready to give you what you need. He's ready to reward you. The Bible says God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Seeking is a term that means continually, not one time, not one time. Seeking is a daily thing. I'm daily seeking the Lord, daily pressing my presence before him. I want to be with you. I want to hear your voice. I want to know your will for my life. So friend, keep on keeping on. Persistence is one of the greatest keys to the overcomer's life. Well, I hope this helped you today, blessed you. I know we took a little bit of extra time. I usually spend about 15 minutes, but I just felt like I really needed to lay a good foundation for this word today so that you could build on it. You can build on it. Persistence wins the day. Love you. Have a blessed day. We'll be talking to you later here on the Overcomers Broadcast. Bye-bye.